But we have come to the end of another series taken from the scriptures. And these words are to be read with understanding, with deep appreciation, with great joy. The theme for this whole series of messages from September all the way to October was on the subject of blessing the Lord's name. And so the Apostle Peter, in his letter, wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's what we want to do, learning how to truly bless the Lord. And the word to bless the Lord literally means to praise God with the best of words, with the deepest feelings of love and appreciation. That's the whole idea of blessing the Lord. And today we're going to take up the topic of the salvation that God has given to us. Well, let's take a look at this thing here. And that's absolutely in verse 9, for example. The end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Well, let's try to understand and appreciate this whole idea of this thing we call the doctrine of salvation. And it is something that's really, really special and wonderful. Salvation is truly a glorious, glorious doctrine. There are so many things we can learn about God and about our salvation if we take time to read, to think, to ponder. And at the end of it all, we should be able to say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Sometimes we take our salvation for granted. We take for granted that we are called Christians, and there isn't a whole lot of meaning or depth behind what we say. And when we take it for granted, what happens is that salvation is not as deeply appreciated. And there are many wonderful blessings that God has given to us would be missed along the way. So let's take time to read the first number of verses all the way, 1 Peter 1, 1 to 9, and then appreciate afresh the many details that are involved in our salvation. Our salvation is not just simply, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's try to appreciate things as we should. It's just like, cooking a great meal. And it takes a long, long time to come up with the right ingredients, the right way of cooking. And then people will say, "Wow, what a marvelous thing." There are many details, obviously. Out there in a hawker scenario, there are people who guard their so-called trade secrets. And there are many, many details. I know of one hawker who sells this thing we call satay bihun. And somebody made the family an offer. Now, the father has already passed on. He did that, and he passed it on to the sons, that he had two sons, and both of them were running the stall for the longest time. That one became seriously ill because of a stroke. The other person had a cancer problem. And it was a very, very tough time for the family. And so people offered them huge sums of money to ask them for a recipe. You know, and he would not share that recipe. You couldn't offer him enough money for that recipe. What was it that was good about it? And the word would be detailed. It was not just the ingredients. It was the way in which it was done, the details of it all. And I happen to know this family personally. And, they used to live near where I was staying many, many, many years ago when I was a much, much younger person. And the amount of time they took to cook that particular sauce would be literally hours on end. And it wasn't something that could be done, in 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And he would cook a whole batch of gravy. And that would take him 4-5 hours. Details. Well, in the same way we learn about details of our salvation, we should not take details for granted. Details are not tedious. They are actually very, very important. Details are things that everybody knows about. A student would know we must look for details in writing exam questions well. Teachers would know that they must do their work properly. Doctors would know that they have to examine their patients very carefully. And details are absolutely critical. Well, today we're going to take a look at some of the details in 1 Peter, and we want to look at one special detail, and that in giving us salvation, God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, all of them are involved in our salvation. That is a glorious detail we must not miss out on. For example, we read in 1 Peter 1 in verse 2, we are elect according to the knowledge, foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, foreknowledge means to say that long before something happened, God already knows about it. Foreknowledge is having the kind of knowledge that is so vast, the commencement, the continuation, the conclusion, God knows every detail. And our salvation is planned on this understanding that God has foreknowledge of all of us. He knows we will live. He knows if we will die. He knows when we will be born and when we will die. That foreknowledge is just absolutely amazing. And in that foreknowledge, we are given our salvation. And that is to be treasured greatly. Then we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, the second part of it, in sanctification of the Spirit. It's just like a baby that is born. You know, it doesn't end when baby is born. It is just a beginning. And God knows about it. What does it take to bring up a child? Everything, details, everyday details, future details, immediate future details, far distant future details. And God knows about it, and He knows what we need. We need to be kept sanctified because there are lots of things that can go wrong in our life. Right? We can be distracted by the world. We can be drawn into sin. We can get into danger. So what does God do in the midst of all that? He sanctifies us. Sanctification of the Spirit means that we are actually specially covered. We are specially protected. We are specially, literally set apart by God. That is a detail that we must appreciate in a fresh, new way. And then, of course, there is the Lord Jesus Christ. And His work is the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, it tells us that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed, meaning He gave His life for us. And because He shed His blood for us, our sins can be forgiven. It's not just sins of the past, but sins of the present. and yes, even sins of the future. How wonderful it is that God has provided all the details of our salvation. And thus, we should be able to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's make it a point to always learn to bless the Lord. Well, that is the part of God. What other things should we look at? See, our salvation does not just simply end with, I'm now baptized. Now I have a hope in heaven. There's so many more things about it that we realize. For example, 1 Peter 1:3, we are told, right, according to his abundant mercy. Now that is absolutely wonderful. What is abundant mercy? Now this is something that we need to look at very carefully. See, abundant mercy covers not only our past sins. Can a person be forgiven if the person has done a lot of bad things in life? And the answer is yes, very much so. But what else does it cover? Abundant mercy tells us that's how God relates to us all the time. Right? There are days when we feel good. There are days when we feel not so great. There are days when we know that we should be conscious of God. And there are many days when we are not conscious of God. How does God relate to us? With abundant mercy. That is something we don't want to take for granted at all. How wonderful it is to know that our salvation means that God relates to us forever with his abundant mercy. And that, to me, is such a joy. Sometimes we look at our life and we know that we should have not grown as much. We have not done as much. The last 2 years have been tough years. And our faith actually drops quite a bit. And we feel lazy. We feel tired all the time. And we are grouchy and grumpy. How does God see us? With a heart of abundant mercy. How wonderful it is that God is like that to us. And so our heart must respond and say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is a God of abundant mercy. And then there is the kept by the power of God part, chapter 1 and verse 5. Now let's take a look at this very, very carefully. What is this that we look at? What is this idea of kept by the power of God? You know, sometimes we take a look at this pandemic times. You know, in India, for example, we have people who have suffered a lot, right? And the Indian pastors write and they tell me that they know of about so many people, all personal friends, and who are also pastors, but in our other churches. They tell me that at least 60 of them have passed away. Now, we've got 6 Indian pastors. 4 of them came down with COVID-19, right? 3 of them had to be hospitalized. And how do we take a look at this? How do we understand this? But they are still alive. They're well. They're keeping well. How did they survive when so many else have died? Well, we are reminded we are all kept by the power of God. Now, of course, we will die one of these days. But in the meantime, when we survive, when we live, it is wonderful to know that God's power is keeping us all the time. Now, people keep asking me, Pastor, how are you? How are you? And I always like to tell them, I am well. I am well kept by the power of God. That is something that we want to never take for granted, right? So when we look at the power of God given to us, keeping us, we should be able to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we're still alive, you know, we should be able to say this very, very, very much. Now we go back again to 1:3, and we take a look at how we have a living hope. Now, this idea of a hope is actually quite real for us today. Right? When we first started out, the first few months when we were struggling with COVID-19, there were so many restrictions, and it was so new. And we don't know what to do next. I think we all struggle. Every day we look at the newspapers, for us who read papers, for some who are a little bit more savvy, they go to the internet and they check how many people, how many cases. And every day you read, whoa, the number of cases is actually getting serious. People are getting worried. And what keeps us going? And that word is hope. Right? That must be the hope inside our hearts. Thank God for His safekeeping. Thank God for His power. What is that hope that we have? Now, this is absolutely important. We have a living hope. Well, I want to tell you that I have been kept alive with this hope. I look forward to coming back to church. And if we are not able to, then what I do is I look forward again. So I am able to come to church, worship, looking forward, living hope. Not able to because of heightened alert, it's all right. We look forward to, again, a living hope. And this hope is truly wonderful and it is alive. And that's what keeps us going. So as time passes, when things get better, and we hope that things will get better, well, if we compare Singapore to a lot of other countries, we have every reason to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a living hope, right? We are told in our salvation, what God has done is to put inside us a sense of hope. And it was meant to be a living hope, and that is absolutely wonderful. Well, let's look at another thing that God has given to us in our salvation. And 1 Peter 1:4 tells us, we have an inheritance. Now, the word inheritance, as we think about it, most of the time, when we think of inheritance, we think in terms of what? Our parents have left us, or our parents will leave us. Now, some of us don't come from very wealthy families, and so our parents have left us with nothing. Now, you know, what did my father leave to me? Nothing. Do I miss that? No. Do I long for that? No. But what does it tell me? Nothing much. God, as our Father, has given us an inheritance. But this inheritance is not a material, physical thing. A material, physical thing is a nice to have, but it's not going to last. So God has given us something far better. Let's think about what we call an inheritance described in the scriptures right here. There are three things that we must take note of God's inheritance given to us. Number one, it is an incorruptible inheritance. Now, I mean, we think in terms of whatever we have. Now, it could be anything. But whatever we have in material things, you know what? They are all corruptible. After a while, no matter how you look at it, it can no longer be used. That is very, very obvious. So what do we have? There are many people who will buy old things, and to them, they are treasures. They are a treasure of the past, but actually, they are not very useful in any sense. What God has given to us is an incorruptible inheritance. And that, to me, is far more wonderful. And then it is what we call an undefiled inheritance. Nothing can ever make it unclean. Nothing can ever affect it badly in any way. And then finally, it is an inheritance that will not fade away. What is that inheritance? Well, there are many, many things actually to think about. There would be inheritance that God has given to us because we are His children. And there are many things that even on this earth in time to come will fade away. What is it that God has given to us that will never fade away? To me, they are special, they are spiritual, they are eternal things. So anything that God will give to us of an eternal nature, that to me is a special, special inheritance that is just absolutely wonderful. Now, what is that? Now, we're not told exactly what it is in this particular text. But, you know, I think in terms of how God has given to us something very, very, very special. What is an inheritance? To me, being able to relate to God as Father, that is an inheritance of sonship that will never fade, that will never be defiled, that will never be corrupted by anything for any reason. To me, that is a wonderful thing. Well, what else can we speak of? All the privileges we have access to God. We can talk to God at any time in prayer. We can have His presence with us. You know, these are things that we often take for granted because we can't see them. But actually, they are very real and they are very precious things that we may say is our inheritance. In other words, it's our right to understand God, to relate to God, to know His love, to have His grace, to have His mercy, to have everything that God has promised to us. That is wonderful inheritance. That is not to be taken for granted. Well, we have just basically mentioned a little bit of what this is. Well, let's look at what it is, right? What is this salvation? One of the most beautiful things that God has given to us is described here, a salvation of our soul. The body may perish. It will perish one of these days. But there is something far better than just the human body. And that is the soul. The invisible, internal part of us is something God says He will do for us. He will save our soul. And that is something to me that is really precious. Now, we think in terms of how we are saved from illnesses. We are saved from diseases. Now, those things are good things. There's no question about it. And it's something that we want to treasure very much. You know, on a short while ago, in a newspaper, in this newspaper, there was a man who was described as an artist. And his artistry is using twigs from trees. Now, that's a pretty amazing art. And he would, make pictures out of twigs, famous pictures of famous people of old China especially. Now, that's interesting. And I was reading about his life a little bit further and how he had to retire from his work because he suffered quite badly from asthma. Now, I suffer from asthma, and I am declared, now I'm no longer an asthmatic. Mine is called childhood asthma. So I don't get it very often. So I'm just thankful. So I am just wonderfully, as it were, saved from this asthma problem. And I am just so grateful. But imagine it. We are, our salvation is that of the soul. Salvation from physical illness is great. How much greater it would be if our souls are saved? Will we receive faith? At the end of it all, we will have salvation of our souls. And that is absolutely wonderful. So as we think about all these things, as we conclude this series, we must ask ourselves, how should we make appropriate response to God? And I want to suggest to you that we can do a number of things. Number one, let's learn to praise God and say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:3. Can we do that? Of course. What's the second thing that we can do? And that second thing that we can do is found in 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice. And that is what we want to do. You know, as we grow older, it's very easy to become grouchy, to become grumbling, to be complaining. You know what? This is what the Lord does not ever want us to become. We are not children of the world. We are children of God. And so we should not go into complaining and disputing all the time. Well, what should we do as an alternative? In this you greatly rejoice. So I make it a point every day. I thank God that I am alive. I thank God I can walk. I thank God. Now that is just, I want to rejoice. Now, every morning, very early in the morning, about 5-something in the morning, I'm out there in my little garden, and then I sort of walk very briefly. I actually jog for about half an hour, 45 minutes. And I always look around and say, who else is walking on the street at that hour? Now, you know, you look at this person, so there will always be, there are a few people who will be almost about the same time, what, and most of them are, you know, they seem to be going to work. Well, there's an old lady, well, right, maybe my age, I wouldn't, well, if I call her an old lady, then I have to call myself an old man. But there she is, and she would either be carrying a knapsack or a trolley, and every morning she will walk. Now, usually we walk at the side of the road, but since it's early morning, she never walks at the side of the road. She walks in the center of the road every morning. At 5:40, she will pass my house. Now, that's an interesting observation. And then about 5:45, there will be an older man. He will always be carrying his knapsack too, and he'll be walking down. And then another man will be coming right up there, and he will always be carrying a briefcase at 5:40 in the morning. Now, that's pretty amazing. Well, everybody's working. Well, I want to ask myself, am I just mere working or am I rejoicing? Well, I like to work, but I also want to learn how to rejoice. In this you greatly rejoice. Not little bit of rejoicing, but greatly rejoicing. As we come to the evening years of our life, how do we want to live each day? Well, my challenge is live greatly rejoicing. That is what you can do, what we can do, and we should be doing that. Because if we are dead, there is nothing else we can do. We're just dead. So when we are alive, don't waste that opportunity. Don't waste even one single day. Greatly rejoice as our appropriate response. Well, 1 Peter 1:7, Peter talks about how the genuineness of our faith is much more precious than gold. Maybe we don't have a lot of money in the bank. That's okay. But what we can have all the way, far more precious than gold, is our faith that is genuine. So let's really treasure this faith that we have in God. And this is something to be treasured and to be built up. Don't just simply say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go beyond that and look at what we have. We have a genuine faith, and we should truly say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How else should we respond greatly? Well, 1 Peter 1:8 tells us, whom having not seen, you love. That is what we can do. Learn how to love God. Learn how to love God better. And love is not something that is static. It just keeps growing all the time. That is as it should be, right? We must learn to love our children better. We must learn to love our grandchildren more. The challenge is to be able to learn to love. And that should apply also to our love for God. We should learn to love God far more too. He is the one who has given us such a great salvation, salvation of our souls. Well, what else can we have? Yet believing, we have this joy inexpressible, full of glory. See, the key word is the word believing. Not just to believe, but believing all the time. Right? We mustn't say, today I believe, tomorrow maybe I don't. Let's keep believing. And as we keep believing, we will find that we will experience a joy inexpressible and full of glory. So at the end of our life, at the end of our faith, what would we have? 1 Peter 1:9 says, receiving at the end of our faith the salvation of our soul. That is something wonderful to think about, to have. Right? As we grow older, we are in our 60s, some of us are in our 70s, some of us are in the 80s. You know, and we, as long as we have breath, as long as we have life, let's do some of these things. Let's respond appropriately. Let's learn how to bless God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's develop a belief of faith in God. And let's live a life that is truly, wonderfully blessed by God. And if we have this kind of life, then we can truly, with all our heart, sincerely say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the salvation you've given to our souls. Thank you for all who are involved in our life, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the many, many blessings that you have given to us. Forgive us when we take all these things for granted. Teach us how to respond with faith, with life, with love, with praise, with joy. May we live our life as a living testimony of the salvation you have given to us. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.